This week, the Trump administration announced that it had reached a new trade agreement with Mexico and Canada, a revision of NAFTA, the North American Free Trade Agreement. Joining us now to talk about that and more is Larry Summers, the former Secretary of the Treasury under President Clinton, former top economic advisor under President Obama, and President Emeritus of Harvard University. Larry Summers, welcome back to Here and Now.
Glad to be with you, Jeremy.
And let's start with this trade agreement, the new U.S.-Mexico-Canada trade agreement. What do you think of it?
Never seen so much ado about so little. I thought the old trade regime between Canada, Mexico, and the United States was a good one. And this one's not very different. How it could possibly be worth major alienation of major allies, I can't imagine. These are relatively small changes. The vast majority of NAFTA is continuing as it was. This has been a major diversion from the important domestic challenges facing the United States and the important international challenges. But I'm happy with the new agreement, principally because I was happy with the old agreement. And I can't imagine why someone who was profoundly troubled by the old agreement should be happy with the new agreement. So this is more in the nature of a publicity stunt than an international diplomatic act.
So when President Trump said this is proof that my strategy worked, that I put pressure on Canada and Mexico and I got what I wanted and our dairy farmers are going to be in better shape now, you say what?
I say any changes are tiny compared to the overall economy. The ill will we have created with respect to the Canadians and the Mexicans will have costs that will exceed any benefits. The ability of North America to remain unified when we face very serious challenges from Asia has been constrained. This has been the most short-sighted of strategies for the most negligible gain.
Do you feel the same way about what's happening vis-a-vis trade with China right now?
I think there are major issues in the U.S.-China trading relationship. It seems to me the strategies we have used to go after them have been quite problematic. They embolden the strongest and most hostile to the United States elements within the Chinese government. They encourage the Chinese on a road to self-sufficiency and independence from the United States, which ultimately will reduce our leverage and influence. They fail to mobilize the moral and political force of the entire international community, which is surely the most effective way to influence Chinese behavior. I think that any conscientious American administration would be addressing issues about Chinese trade practices, and in particular the ones relating to intellectual property. But I don't think the strategy or the tactics has been well calculated to maximize long-run American interests.
And what about President Trump's argument that U.S. coffers are filling up because of these tariffs, that we're collecting a lot more money on everything that is being brought in from China?
There are all kinds of ways of raising taxes if you want. Tariffs are taxes. They are taxes that fall principally on the goods that people buy and the inputs that companies need in order to compete. That's why they are taxes that are particularly regressive and particularly inefficient. And so there's something very odd about an administration that prides itself on its tax cutting, focusing on cutting the taxes for corporations and raising the taxes on the ordinary goods, the toys that parents buy for their kids at Christmas.
So are you surprised then that Republicans who have long campaigned on being tax cutters and being against taxes are not speaking up about these tariffs?
I've stopped being surprised at Republican cravenness in front of President Trump. It is clear, and you know, I'm an economist, not a politician or a political scientist, but it's quite clear that Republican congressmen and senators are in great fear of a primary challenge sponsored and supported by President Trump. And President Trump may not have a majority within America with him. Indeed, his approval rating suggests that it's well under 50%. But he does have a big majority within the Republican Party. And he's prepared to ruthlessly use that to impose party discipline. And therefore, he is able to rally Republican congressmen and senators who value their survival as political leaders more than their previous convictions to stand by his side. You know, the book has moved somewhat out of fashion, but John Kennedy wrote a great book called Profiles in Courage about senators who regarded their core beliefs as being more important to them than their reelection. I just wish we were seeing more profiles in courage in the Senate these days on trade issues and, frankly, on some other issues as well.
What do you think of what the Fed is doing right now? They just raised interest rates again. Inflation is up above 2%, unemployment below 4% right now. Is it possible that the Fed is keeping interest rates too low right now, or what do you think?
I think the Fed is right to recognize that any error in letting inflation rise a little bit too much is likely to be a reversible error. And any error in terms of tipping the economy into recession is likely to take a very long time to reverse. I'm one who believes that we have a very different economy than we used to. Therefore, I think the approach that's being pursued is okay, and I would not be one to criticize it, certainly not one to criticize it on the grounds that we should have even more rapid increases in interest rates than we do.
I have an interesting theory that I just heard from somebody in the banking industry at a major bank, and he was saying that the unemployment rate may actually be getting so low that there are going to be a lot of people hired for jobs that they shouldn't have, being paid too much money, and that's where inflation is going to come from. What do you think about that?
It's possible. There is some evidence that at the end of expansions, there's a tendency for productivity growth to slow. And that may be for the reason your companion suggests, that when labor is in short supply, some of the people hired are a bit less qualified. But it seems to me that what is striking is how slow any pressure for inflation is. And perhaps that's because of the price discipline posed by foreign competition, posed by technology. So I think it would take quite a lot to generate a substantial acceleration in American inflation.
I want to ask you about one more thing, which is that we're talking as the stock market is at record highs. A lot of people are worried that, you know, we've been in an expansion for a long time now, that a recession is on the way. What are your thoughts at this point about that?
I'd be surprised if sometime in the next 3 years we didn't have a recession. Evidence is that it's very hard to predict recessions, and so the fact that we don't see one coming doesn't assure us that one is not coming. I think you have risks in the geopolitical environment. You have risks that the Fed will tighten too fast. I think you have risks that elevated asset prices will just, at a certain point, run out of steam, and when people no longer buy them because they're confident they go up, they can actually fall quite sharply. So I think you have a situation that has a number of real risks associated with it. And I would be somewhat surprised, not shocked, but somewhat surprised if the expansion was still healthy 3 years from now. And I would be very surprised if growth next year wasn't considerably slower than growth this year.
And do you think that the effects of the midterm elections are going to have a big impact on the economy?
I think it's hard to know. I'd be surprised if they had a huge effect, because I would be surprised if you see substantial policy change in Washington, regardless of what happens in the midterm election. I think the greater chance is of erratic actions in the international arena that have consequences, but those are less affected by the result of the election.
It's Larry Summers, former Secretary of the Treasury and President Emeritus of Harvard University. Thanks, as always, for joining us.
Thank you, Jeremy.